بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. We would discuss and learn about the life of that Sahabi رضي الله عنه who got hidayat through Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم's journeying to Taif. Allah's Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم went to Taif during the Meccan period. And he went to invite the people to Allah. The people in Makkah Mukarramah were not budging. It was times of difficulty. There was a lot of torture upon the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to take the deen to another area. So he went to Taif. And we know the treatment he received in Taif. How he was hurt and harmed and insulted. And on his return, as he was being tortured and stoned and he was bleeding, the du'as he gave the people and the forgiveness he gave, and when he was offered that they should be destroyed, and how he forgave and asked Allah not to destroy them, that if they were not to accept the deen, someone from their offspring would accept the deen. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned on that occasion. Then hijrah takes place. Then during the period Medina Munawwara, there was one individual who was very, very famous in Taif. So famous that even the verse of Quran that quotes the complaint of the Meccans and the Mushrikeen, this verse explains how these people would complain and say, why did Allah give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the Quran? We would prefer someone else. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned these verses in the Quran after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقالوا لولا نزل هذا القرآن على رجل من القريتين عظيم. What would they say? وقالوا. Why was this Quran revealed to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم? Why didn't it come to a great man, رجل من القريتين عظيم, a great man from one of the two powerful cities? And what was their reference? Referring to Walid bin Mughira of Makkah or Urwa bin Mas'ud of Taif. Urwa bin Mas'ud was, so to say, the blue-eyed boy of the Mushrikeen of Makkah and of the Quraysh and of the Arabs at that time. They loved him very, very much. And he was senior to them. And Ajib, when the effort of hidayat takes place, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited to Allah, even the most senior of the mushrikeen, those closest to them, those leading their sinister plans and plots and efforts against the truth, Allah brings such people to iman. So this was their complaint. Quran quotes it. And then Allah says, Allah Ta'ala says, are they the ones to distribute rahmata rabbik, Allah's rahmah? Is it their duty to distribute Allah's rahmah? Meaning, if Allah chooses what He wants and who He wants for Allah's task, who are they to object? نحن قسمنا بينهم معيشتهم في الحياة الدنيا ورفعنا بعضهم فوق بعض درجات ليتخذ بعضهم بعضا سخريا ورحمة ربك خير مما يجمعون. When Allah Ta'ala says that we distribute, Allah distributes everything. Allah distributes rizq and sustenance. And nubuwa, this is also referred to here. Allah gives nubuwa to who He wants to. So we learn from here that we should not be jealous at Allah Ta'ala's decision. And also we learn that efforts never go to waste. See this Sahabi, Urwa bin Mas'ud. His entire name, Urwa bin Mas'ud bin Mu'attib bin Malik bin Ka'ab bin Amr bin Auf bin Saqif. And he links to Qais Ailan al-Thaqafi. So Thaqif means he comes from the people of Ta'if. He was so senior among the Mushrikeen. To prove that, during the Medina period, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came for Umrah with Sahaba, رضي الله عنهم. And in turn they were barred outside Makkah Mukarramah, in an area called Ta'if. It was an area called Hudaybiyah, and there they didn't allow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entry. So they stopped Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't want him to enter. Among the people, amongst those that came to negotiate with him on behalf of the mushrikeens of Makkah, was Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is outside Makkah Mukarramah, not allowed to enter. And in that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Uthman radiallahu anhu to invite to Allah Ta'ala and inform them of certain important intentions of his arrival and his coming and other tasks Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him. But the mushrikeen were not budging. Among the people they sent was Urwa bin Mas'ud. So he comes and he uses his strategy, because he was a man of politics and he was very, very wise, and the Meccans would rely on him. So what he tried to do as he came, he was affected by the environment around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the environment of deen, the environment of iman. And amazing, this is also a means of hidayat. Bring people into the environment of the masjid, environment of where deen is taking place, environment of where amal is taking place. That affects a person. Many a time we have people working for us and we are going to the masjid. Take them with us. Let them experience this beautiful environment, the environment of ibadat, the environment of khidmat. We learn from the ulama, there are few efforts which are the means of hidayat. One, dawat, inviting to Allah. Number two, ta'lim, learning and teaching. Dawat, ta'lim, that is dhikr and ibadah, the remembering Allah and worshipping Allah. And number four is khidmah, serving one another. So where these a'mal take place, that area becomes a means of hidayah. So anyway, when he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a strategy as well. He's saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm giving you some advice. These people around you, where are they going to stand for you? They are ubash. Inni la'ara ubasham min al-nas, khaliqan ayyafiru wa yada'uk. They are riffraffs. They are people and pockets from different tribes and different backgrounds. And you put them together, how are you going to manage such a thing? To keep one tribe together, that makes more sense. You brought different people together to do the same thing, and you expect these people to defend your deen. I give you advice. Give it up, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not going to work." Actually, what Urwa bin Mas'ud was planning to do was to break the union between Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sahaba radiallahu anhu. So he's referring to those around him as those who, when the times get tough, they will forsake Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in that, how Allah Ta'ala proved him wrong was the sahabi who was appointed to stand next to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on guard, because the Meccans could at any time try to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was one individual, but he was armed, his face was covered with a helmet, and he was standing next to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in the negotiation, Urwa bin Mas'ud was playing with the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe it was a strategy at that time, or maybe he was trying to humble Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah knows best. But some scholars write that it was the method of communication when there was truce at that time, during that time in history. So while he is playing with Rasulullah's beard sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the man next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Mughira bin Shu'bah. Now Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu embraced Islam recently, and he was among the people of Makkah who were known to be, so to say, highway robbers. He was a gangster at that time, before his Islam. He killed many people. And he comes from Urwa bin Mas'ud's tribe. So in this, he's standing next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as Urwa bin Mas'ud was playing with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beard, Mughira bin Shu'bah, with the handle of his sword, he hits away the hand of Urwa bin Mas'ud, indicating that do not come too close to my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ukfuf yadak an masi lihyati Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam qabla an la taghira ilayk. withhold your hand from touching my Nabi's beard, or else your hand will not come back to you. قَبْلَ أَلَّا تَصِلَ إِلَيْكَ. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam notices this, these words being thrown about between the two next to him, Urwa and Mughira. And actually, they were so close relatives. Not only was he from his tribe, but Mughira radiallahu anhu was the nephew of Urwa bin Mas'ud. And Urwa then asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's this? This man guarding you. So he says, this is your nephew, this is your relative, Mughira bin Shu'bah. هذا ابن أخيك المغيرة بن شعبة. So Urwa then, in turn, who's the uncle, says to his nephew, وَأَنْتَ بِذَلِكَ يَا غُدَرْ. O defiant one, O disloyal one, how dare you do this to me? And then you went to, what wrong you did in your past, and you perpetrated so much of treachery in your past, and now you just embraced Islam. What happened was, before he embraced Islam, he was involved in many, many cases of sin, of wrong, and Allah Ta'ala guided him, and Allah Ta'ala gave him hidayat. And then when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him on day one, أَمَّا الْإِسْلَامُ فَأَقْبَلْ. You embraced Islam, that I accept. But money you took of your past, that I have nothing to do, because that is not correct. فَلَسْتُ مِنْهُ فِي شَيْءٍ. Meaning when a person usurped wealth, and then he embraces Islam, Allah will forgive his sins. But the rights and the dues he owes to others has to be paid. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that. Anyway, Urwa bin Mas'ud was paying some of his blood money, being his relative. And that's why Urwa bin Mas'ud was very, very upset. But what happened through this negotiation was, what Urwa bin Mas'ud tried to do, Allah Ta'ala disproved it by Urwa's own relative being next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, defending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this showed him that believers are such, no matter what nationalities they come from, colors they have, or family backgrounds they come from, but Islam unites them, and the blood of Islam is so thick that they will stand for each other, and they will protect their deen, and they will stand for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why when Urwa then returns to the Meccans, he says to them, Ey qawm, O my people, Wallahi laqad wafattu ala al-muluk. I went in delegations to kings, Qaisar, Kisra, Najashi. والله إن رأيت ملكا قط أطوع في من هو بين ظهراني من محمد وأصحابه صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, by Allah, I have never ever noticed a king loved, revered and respected by those around him like Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was respected and revered. He says they don't even raise their gaze towards him. والله ما يشدون إليه النظر. They don't even stare at him. They don't even raise their voices before him. He just has to indicate, and it is done. وَمَا يَكْفِيهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يُشِيرْ إِلَىٰ أَمْرٍ فَيُفْعَلْ. Leave that. وَمَا يَتَنَخَّمُ وَمَا يُبْسِقْ. I watched him perform wudu. He does not spit out what is in his mouth, except that it falls in someone's hands. And then he rubs what emanated from Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم's mouth onto his skin. And when he performs wudu, they crowd around to take the water that comes out from his wudu. Allahu Akbar. Actually, we learn from there that during this negotiation, it was the time of salah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed salah, and then it was an opportunity for Urwa bin Mas'ud to actually notice the entire salah and the ibadat. So we learn another very important lesson. When we are with people, don't feel shy to perform salah, especially on journeys and travels. One is, I said earlier, invite new people to the masjid. And the other is, you are somewhere, you know, people came back from holidays, whoever, you go on journeys and trips and occasions all the time. When it is the time of salah, don't duck in one corner to perform salah. No, make the wudu cleanly, don't mess the bathroom. If people take offense, wash the feet, you know, on the grass, take water from a bottle. But don't do things that people are not prepared to understand. And don't distance them from them. Oh, if you had to use the bathrooms there and it got a little wet, we should clean it ourselves. And then after that, when it is the time of salah, perform, render the adhan loudly, in a beautiful tone, and perform the salah in front of them. Let them take effect from the beauty of deen. And like this, he gives the report to the Meccans. This is what I saw. This is what I saw. And at the end of the discussion, he says to the Meccans, these people will give their life for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I request you, do not interfere with this. He is coming for, he came for Umrah. Let him enter. Let him come. So they said to him, لا تكلم بهذا يا أبا يعفور. Or Abu Ya'fur. This was his kunya, was his appellation. Don't say this. We're not going to let them enter. If someone else said, let them enter Makkah, we would have blamed him and named him and rebuked him. But because of your status, we will keep quiet. But don't tell us to let them come into Makkah Mukarramah. So this was the negotiation between Urwa bin Mas'ud and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when did Allah give him hidayat? It was after the fath of Makkah, the victory of Makkah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took deen to Ta'if again. So during the Meccan period, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Ta'if, and during the period of Medina Munawwara, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Ta'if again. And Ta'if was sieged, and that siege did not open Ta'if. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mashura with Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they returned to Makkah Mukarramah. And look how Allah Ta'ala made it such. لَمَّنْ صَرَفَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنْ طَائِفِ اتَّبَعَ أَثَرَهُ عُرْوَةُ بْنُ مَسْعُودٍ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Ta'if now. Quite a few people embraced Islam during the siege of Ta'if. And as he's returning to Medina Munawwara, Urwa bin Mas'ud follows his tracks, comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he finally embraces Islam. This was such an occasion. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became so happy that such a senior person, among the people who he went to meet from the time of the Meccan period, now gets hidayat. So we learn something. You spoke to a person about deen, you invited him to Allah Ta'ala. Maybe he won't embrace today. Someday Allah will give him hidayat. Maybe you brought him a little closer, a few inches closer to Allah's deen, but he will come someday. And now when he embraced Islam, what a sacrifice he made. He comes to Medina Munawwara. He spends time in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. And when he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spends a little time in the Masjid Nabawi. He learns the ta'aleem. He learns the deen. And he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then. أخرج الطبراني عن عروة بن الزبير رضي الله عنه قال لما أنشأ الناس الحج سنة 90 قدم عروة بن مسعود رضي الله عنه. So عروة بن زبير رحمه الله reports this, that when Hajj was initiated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the Muslims during the 9th year after Hijrah, that year Urwa bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to embrace Islam. And he embraced Islam, and after a short span, after learning a little, a short span, he sought permission. فَاسْتَأْذَنَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنْ يَرْجِعَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. O Nabi of Allah, allow me to return to my people to give them da'wat, to invite them. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't allow him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I fear, O Urwa, these people will harm you. I know the hostility of the people of Ta'if. They do not give up their faith easily. So Urwa says, O Nabi of Allah, my people respect me so much. لَوْ وَجَدُونِي نَائِمًا مَا إِيقَظُونِي. They respect me so much. If I'm asleep, no matter what is happening, they won't wake me up because of their respect for me and their love for me. In one report he mentions, O Nabi of Allah, they even love me more than the virgin girls, the daughters in their home. Meaning, if they, you know, show respect to a virgin girl and give her such consideration, they give more consideration to me. Okay, in that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him permission. So we learn from here. When you have post, when you have position, when you have status, use it for da'wat. Use it for deen. Use it to invite people to Islam. Use it to advocate the truth to people. Sometimes we have, you know, big businesses, portfolios. Use that to share Allah's deen with humanity. Understand, my respected listeners, there's no Nabi after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To share Islam and deen with humanity is the Muslim's duty. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed him. فَرَجَعَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مُسْلِمًا. He returns to his people with Islam, with deen. فَرَجَعَ عِشَاءً. When he returned, it was the time of Isha. Anyway, Thaqif came to greet him. فَجَاءَ ثَقِيفٌ يُحَيُّونَهُ. They came to greet him, to give him greetings. So in one report, he actually teaches them the greeting of Islam. So quite a few of them took an aversion to it. They didn't like it. Anyway, in that he invited them to Islam. فَدَعَاهُمْ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ And they got very, very upset. And one report explains that while he was giving them da'wat, they got him killed. While he was calling them to Allah. While he was inviting them to Islam. In one report, it was the time of Salah. He gets up on his balcony of his palace and he calls the Adhan. And while he was calling the Adhan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, while calling the Adhan, he was shot from different directions and then he became very ill, he fell, and quite a few of the seniors came around him and they said, we will avenge your life, we will take revenge for you, and we cannot tolerate what happened to you. What he said, those who killed me, I forgive them. I hope Allah Ta'ala accepts me as a shaheed like the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he forgave those who killed him. And in that, he passed away. Allahu Akbar. This was Sahaba radiallahu anhum's worry and concern for humanity. That he is passing away, he is forgiving those who killed him, and he wants hidayat for them, and he wants Allah to accept him. Meaning, he is honored that he passes away inviting to Allah Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. This is an ajeeb lesson we learn from here. We learn that Sahaba radiallahu anhum wanted humanity's hidayat and they were prepared to be the sacrifice for that. Like the poet says so beautifully, سَأَحْمِلُ رُوحِي عَلَى رَاحَتِي As though he's explaining Sahaba radiallahu anhum's mizaj and fikr. سأحمل روحي على راحتي وألقي بها في مهاوي الردى فإما حياة تسر الصديق وإما ممات يغيظ العدا ونفس الشهيد لها غايتان بلوغ الأماني ونيل المنى
He says, I will carry my soul on my palm and I'll present it in every danger and difficulty as long as mankind gets hidayat. He says, either I will live that life it will be pleasing to humanity and a mercy to humanity, or else I will die bringing rage to the enemies of Allah and the enemies of Islam. And then he says, وَنَفْسُ الشَّهِيدِ لَهَا غَايَتَانِ The life of a shaheed, the one who gives his life for Allah, he actually has two motives and goals. His purposes and objectives are two. بُلُوغُ الْأَمَانِ وَنَيْلُ الْمُنَى His intention is first. What is his intention? That humanity must get hidayat. And the work must be done. The job must be done. So that must be fulfilled. That aspiration must be fulfilled. And number two, for him to acquire his aspiration and his wish, which is to gain shahada and martyrdom and gain Allah's pleasure. So one is to die for Allah Ta'ala. And the other is the work for which one gives his life for must be fulfilled. Meaning Sahaba radiallahu anhu didn't just want to pass away. They wanted to do Allah's deen, wanted to serve Allah's deen. And in that, maut must come that was an honor for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This was Urwa bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah ta'ala accepted him. So we learn one important hadith. The way you live your life, that's how you will pass away. كَمَا تَحْيَوْنَا تَمُوتُونَ The way you live your life, meaning for that goal, for that purpose, for that objective for which you live, Allah will bless you with death doing that. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Allah save us from death. Allah save us from death while perpetrating gunas and wrongs and sins, listening to music, showing off, displeasing Allah. Allah save us from deaths in those states. Because then that sin that we perpetrating and in the condition that we die, that sin and that guna will continue and we will continue to receive those gunas. Allah make it that we die striving in Allah's path, far away from home, serving Allah Ta'ala's deen or involved in some ibadat, worshipping Allah Ta'ala through Allah Ta'ala's mercy. May Allah give us such mubarak deaths just through the barakat of the love of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard of the shahadat of Urwa radiallahu anhu. And he said, مَثَلُ عُرْوَةَ مَثَلُ صَاحِبِ يَعْسِينَ The parable of Urwa is like that of صَاحِبُ يَعْسِينَ That individual who is mentioned in Surah Yasin. That sahabi
who is mentioned in Surah Yasin, meaning the Sahabi of that Nabi of Allah, Sahib Yasin. He was the man mentioned in Surah Yasin. That's what Sahib Yasin means. Who was this individual? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he invited his people to Allah. دَعَا قَوْمَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَتَلُوهُ. Who was this individual? In Surah Yasin, Allah Ta'ala speaks of an individual. Under the verses, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ. O Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, present to them the tale, the incident, the event of the people of the town. إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. When the Anbiya, the sent ones, came to the people of the town. إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ. We first sent two to them. فَعَزَّزْنَا فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا. The people denied the two of Allah's messengers. So Allah says, we sent the third messenger. فَقَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ. They said, we are sent to you by Allah. Allah sent us to you. So the people refuted them. مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. You all are but humans like us. وَمَا أَنْزَلَ الرَّحْمَانُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Rahman didn't reveal anything. You all are but lying. إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ. قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ. The Anbiya alayhim salam emphatically said to them, certainly Allah sent us to you. Allah sent us to you. Most certainly. La mursalun. That lam adds emphasis. The incident is lengthy, as the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam were inviting the people and the people were refuting. Then the punishment of Allah Ta'ala came when the people refuted. In different forms, in droughts, in difficulties, in challenges. So the people then said to the Anbiya alayhim, so this is happening because of you. Anbiya alayhimu salam explained to them, this is the result of your deeds. This is the result of your deeds. And in this dialogue between the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam and the people, Allah Ta'ala highlights an incident. So in the surah, Quran says, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. And they came from the outskirts of the city. A man, رَجُلُ يَسْعَى. So رَجُلٌ, a man. Where there is no lam ta'rif. الرَّجُلُ, the man. رَجُلُ يَسْعَى, a man. This is indicating to us that this was not a Nabi. This was an ordinary individual who helped the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. This is what brings Allah's pleasure. رَجُلُ يَسْعَى. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. He said to the people, O my people, Ya Qawm, O my people, اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Follow the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Follow those who are not asking you for anything in return. They want no remuneration from you. They want good for you. They want guidance for you. They want salvation for you. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. When they are doing for you without any wanting anything in return, this is a sign that they are on hidayah, on guidance. Then Quran tells us that they now turn to this person to say that you also worshipping the one they are talking about. He says, وَمَالِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. How can I not worship? What is the matter with me if I do not worship Allah whom created me? And to Him is our return and is your return. And then Quran actually speaks of how they then punished this person. And they killed him. So he was killed for the cause for which he advocated and called. And Allahu Akbar, according to Quran and Sunnah, this is such a great honor to die for Allah's sake, in Allah's path, in Allah's way. They killed him. And then Quran even quotes what he said after he passed away. Allah Ta'ala honored him. So Quran says, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamoon bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al mukramin. Oh my Allah, how I wish, Ya layt, how I wish my people only would come to know how my Allah has forgiven me. Bima ghafara li rabbi. How my Allah, how much Allah has forgiven me. Ghafara li rabbi. And how Allah has honored me. Mukrameen. Allah has given so much of izzat and ikram to me. So we learn from here that how great it is to go and strive in Allah Ta'ala's path. And how noble it is to call to Allah, to speak about Allah. That Quran, a man spoke about Allah for a few moments, and he gave his life in that cause. Quran gives him place, meaning Allah Ta'ala shows us how valuable is what he did. So let us learn this lesson. Let us be like Sahib Yasin. Let us also be like the Sahabi Urwa bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And we read this surah every day when going to work early in the morning. Make this intention. Oh Allah, how can I share your deen with others today? How can I connect humanity to you today? Every day make this intention. Allah will use us for his deen. Allah give us tawfiq. In Hayatul Sahaba of Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullahi alayh, he quotes a report with the chain that he was killed during the adhan of Fajr. And then Thaqif all surrounded him. The man who killed him's name was Aus bin Auf. Struck him on his vein, medial arm vein. On the arm. And his blood didn't stop and he passed away. And in that there was a huge hue in Ta'if. And the people of Ta'if gathered. And they realized that they also must embrace Islam and find out about Islam. So Ghilan bin Salama, Kinana bin Abdi Alil and Hakam bin Amr and senior people from the Ahlafs. Ahlafs are the mixed tribes, six tribes. Abduddar, Jumah, Makhzum, Adi, Ka'ab, Saham, these tribes. So few of them also. And these tribes now wanted to stand up for Urwa radiallahu anhu. And Urwa called them, no, come here, come here. He invited them to Islam. And he showed them the akhlaq of a Muslim. He says, لا تقتتلوا فيا. Don't fight for my sake. My blood, I give it as charity in Allah Ta'ala's path. I forgive that person who killed me. And this is a karama, an honor Allah has honored me by. فَهِيَ كَرَامَةٌ أَكْرَمَنِ اللَّهُ بِهَا وَشَهَادَةٌ سَاقَهَ اللَّهُ إِلَيَّ. Allah Akbar. This is karama Allah gave me, and it is martyrdom that Allah Ta'ala brought my way. How sahaba radiyallahu anhum looked at it, Allah Akbar. How they looked at it, Allahu Akbar. Let's learn one lesson. We were on Gush yesterday with some brothers and we went to meet one new Muslim brother. You know, in that, he is telling me how he got these quite a few dealerships throughout, customers that he, you know, sends his goods to, packages. He imports goods, so he sends it to these dealers who buy from him, 192 or so in the country. So to every customer, he sends some literature of, you know, about Islam. So in that, I asked him, that, Uncle, tell me, that the people that you send this literature to, do they get offended? Do they, you know, phone you to say that they don't want? He says that, I received one call in the entire year. So what happened? He says, this lady is from Kimberley, she said that, please, sir, I appreciate your goods you're sending. You know, I'm happy with your service, but don't send the literature. So he said, I told her that, ma'am, this is part and parcel of my business. It comes along. So she said, in that case, I'll buy from someone else. So he said to her that you are welcome to do that. I asked him, did she then again order from you? He says, 2 weeks later, she ordered from me, and I packed her parts. And in that I sent other topics on that literature as well. So Allahu Akbar, this is a lesson for all of us. And what's the lesson? That how these people coming to Islam take deen so passionately that they will not leave inviting to Allah Ta'ala even though they can lose the business. Allah forgive us. We want to jeopardize the deen for our business, for our work, for our coffers and pockets. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. And Allah inspire us to learn from these brothers. There was one brother who also embraced Islam, and then he's working in the, you know, for the government, collecting, you know, the garbage. So in that, there was an argument that broke out between him and one of the others. So this other individual hit him with a cracked beer bottle. So in this matter was taken to court because this man was badly injured. And in court, he forgave this person who hurt him so badly, he almost died. So the judge asks him, that why do you forgive this person? He says, I want Allah to forgive me, so I will forgive this person. This is also a new Muslim brother.
So Allah Ta'ala gives hidayah. That's how Allah Ta'ala has inspired them with such beautiful practices. So Allah give us these qualities of Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. This is what this Sahabi said, that Allah Ta'ala has honored me with this.
Radiyallahu anhu left this world. Faqif then were now worried what to do. Just took them some months. They're discussing what to do. They realized that everyone is coming to deen. Let us also go and find out about deen. So they prepared a delegation, a jamaat. فَأَرْسَلُوا عَبْدَ يَعْلِيلِ ibn Amr. They sent Abdi Yalil, but two others from the Ahlafs, three from the Banu Malik tribe. The Banu Malik tribe were the tribe that killed Urwa radiallahu anhu, and they travel now on behalf of the entire Taif people. They come to Medina Munawwara. When they come to an area called Qanat, so what we're discussing now, how his hidayat and effort had an impact on his hostile people. They come to Qanat, a place. And there, Mughira bin Shu'ba radiallahu anhu was there grazing the cattle, grazing the camels actually, the camels. And he was doing his duty. And in this, when he sees them coming towards Medina Munawwara, he notices that this is a jamaat coming to embrace Islam. ذَهَبَ يَشْتَدُّ لِيُبَشِّرَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم بِقُدُومِهِمْ. He went rushing to give glad tidings to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, that who is coming? Who is coming? Look who is coming. The same people Allah's Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم cried for and made effort upon and he bled for and he made dua for. So he's on his way to bring these good news to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And remember, my respected listeners, there was nothing more pleasurable to Sahaba radiyallahu anhum than to bring a smile to Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face. Mughira is rushing. On the way, Abu Bakr Siddiq meets him. فَلَقِيَهُ أَبُو بَكْرٍ الصِّدِّيقِ radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu meets him. Oh Mughira, where are you going? Where are you off to? So Mughira radiyallahu anhu tells him that this jamaat of Thaqif have come. And rakbi Thaqifin. And qadimu yuridun al-bay'a wal-islam. They come, have come to embrace Islam. And they want certain conditions. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says to Mughira, O Mughira, I ask you for Allah's sake. Aqsamtu alayk. La tasbiqni ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't go tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allow me to have this opportunity to bring the smile to Rasulullah and inform Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hatta akuna ana uhadithuhu. Allahu Akbar. I want to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to inform him of this good news. So what we learn from here? Probably Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wanted to discuss something else with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah knows best. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the most wise amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Probably he wanted to send him back to take care of his flock. But look at the sacrifice of Mughira radiallahu anhu. He gives in to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that this is something he loved the most, but he made ikram of his brother. Allah give us tawfiq also to give of that which we love, something we passionate about, and we give that in for Allah's pleasure. Allah loves that sacrifice. Anyway, Mughira radiallahu anhu agreed. Okay, Abu Bakr, how can I refuse your request? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to inform Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with that regarding that, and Mughira radiallahu anhu went to this delegation and he gathered them. And what he did? وَعَلَّمَهُمْ كَيْفَ يُحَيُّونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He sat them down. He says, you are coming into Medina Munawwara now. Let me sit with you all and teach you all something very, very important. When you all meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is how you all will greet him. Allahu Akbar. What we learn from there? We learn from there, if somebody else is doing something for Allah's deen and that task is fulfilled, we don't have to sit down. We can do something else for Allah's deen. So many tasks there are for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. We shouldn't sulk and whine or feel, no, it is done. No, we can do other things for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, as long as it is, you know, for Allah Ta'ala's sake and in the correct manner. And then also, Ajib, they come into Medina Munawwara. Mughira radiallahu taught them how to greet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they still didn't practice what he taught them. He still greeted him in the greeting of Jahiliyyah. What we learn from there, that people who are new to Islam, you have to accommodate them and you have to give them time and allow them, give them that leeway to learn. They need that time. This was not long before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world, but how people were given time to change. Then when they came into Medina Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam welcomed them. He arranged for them a place to stay in Masjid an-Nabawi. Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali quotes the reports in Hayatul Sahaba of the wisdom behind that and staying in the masjid, what an impact it has. Allahu Akbar. Because the time has elapsed, we will discuss these incidents of these individuals who became Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Their stay in Medina Munawwara, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accommodating them, giving them time, answering their questions, and how this then became a means of how many people's hidayat. That later on, in the year 92 Hijri, the man who took Islam into India was actually the entire Indian subcontinent, meaning Hind and Sindh, which is the entire India, Pakistan, Bangladesh region, and the surrounding areas of Sri Lanka, and so many other areas around there. The man who took Islam into these regions was a man from the Thaqif people, from Taif. So Allahu Akbar. Where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua started, Allahu Akbar, where he forgave, and where he opened his heart, and where he asked Allah for their hidayat, and how people from those same people who were saved from destruction because of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mercy took Islam to where we're in the world. Allah give us tawfiq also to forgive and overlook and be kind and show character and share deen with humanity. And when we bring people to Allah Ta'ala's deen, accommodate them, give them time to change, work on them, invite them, share with them, bring them. And that will be our investment in the year after. We will continue this discussion, inshallah. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.